Daniel 2. That's better than going trying to sing through it. What she should have done is kept playing a piano and had Rick come up and sing her part. Okay, Daniel 2. Okay, Daniel is like an Old Testament parallel of Revelation. His name means my God is judge, and or God is the judge. And Revelation reveals Jesus Christ to be the judge of the universe. Okay, this king had a nightmare or bad dream, forgot what the dream was, and Daniel was given insight into the guy's mind and discovered a dream and gave the interpretation of the dream. Dreams and visions is how God makes his words known before written revelation, and he actually showed this lost man, I guess you could say, about future world kingdoms. And Daniel's going to interpret it. We're not going to go through it in detail, but still the idea is on prophecies. I think there's a movie years ago called Back to the Future, but that was a whole different take. But this is some futuristic ideas of the Bible. Daniel 2:36. This is the dream, and we will show or tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Okay, we, Daniel's three buddies. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. So he is the head of gold. He is the first international king officially by God, after God took the kingdom from the Jews. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand. Okay, the beast, gone to the dogs, fowls of heaven, birds, bird brain, bats in a belfry, that's all unclean spirits associated with politics, politicians. The fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them, thou art this head of gold. Okay, so that's the top part. The next kingdom after him, this takes place 70 years later. Now, this kingdom is named in chapter 8. So the first one's Babylon, that's Iraq. 39, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. That would be Media Persia, that is Iran. Okay, that's the chest of silver. And then it says, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. That's Greece, that's Alexander the Great. We know that by name in chapter 8. And of course, we have the advantage of hindsight, of history. He showed up about 300 years later. So that's Greece. That's the Ottoman Empire in the early 1900s, modern-day Turkey. Verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. So that's the legs of iron. That's pagan Rome. Again, we know this by history. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall break in pieces and bruise. Okay, so Rome obviously conquered a lot. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. So this is a revised Roman Empire. The first one would be pagan Rome. This would be a papal Rome. Okay, so it's got clay and iron. Clay, symbolism of man. Obviously, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Okay, the iron and clay are mixed together. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, the parallel is the iron, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Men, that's the clay. So what is the iron? That's something weird. Okay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So this would be Genesis 6, fallen angels coming into women. And Hollywood is wanting us to see the Iron Man is coming to save us. Okay, and so that one was fulfilled, verse 38, that'd be 600 B.C., 39, about 70 years later, the second half of 39, about 200 years later, the fourth kingdom, about 400 to 500 years later, and then verse 42, the Antichrist kingdom, that's over 2,500 years later. And then verse 44 is the greatest doctrine of the Bible. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this idea. Help us look forward to the future for the born-again believer. And I pray that if someone by chance is not saved, sitting in here, that they'd see their need of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the prophets were futuristic in their writings. Okay, really talking about the future, predicting the future. That's what makes us people, men, women, children, different than animals, because animals really aren't concerned about the future. They might have a temporary preparation for the winter. Okay, but they don't really look out into the future. Okay, and so the Bible tells us what's going to happen in the future. Now, how we know it's true is from the track record of the Bible in the past. Okay, the track record is evident. When the Lord Jesus Christ can fulfill 48 out of 48 prophecies, his first coming, he's going to fulfill all of them in a second coming. I mean, he's already batting 1,000, and I don't see that he's not going to do anything less. Okay, and so the Bible is futuristic. The greatest day in the Bible is God's day. God's calendar is this coronation of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest doctrine of the Bible. That's what talks about more than anything. Okay, now, when God, through these men, give these prophecies, God himself is not limited by time. So when God gives these prophecies, sometimes he will be writing about something in the future, but he'll write present tense, because God is present tense. That's why he said, I am that I am. Okay, so it would be sort of like this, where God's sitting out in the future, and then he's writing backwards to tell us what's going to happen in the future. And it's sort of kind of like this, okay? Often, we've done this, I don't know, two, three, four times, where Brent and Jenna find a good deal at Wisconsin Dells, you know, get a room reserved. We get on the same eBay, find a good deal, about the same time, hopefully try to get the same time. Sometimes they're a day there earlier than us. Okay, so if they're a day earlier than us, you know, we'll give them a call. And Joab and Gabby, okay, who are present tense in the Dells, but they're excited about us coming, and so they're telling us about what we're going to do. Okay, so they're thrilled about it. Okay, now God in heaven is written down, thrilled about us coming, and so he's telling us what we're going to experience. He's given us an itinerary of this cruise that we're going to cruise into the heavens for born-again believers. So I want to give you the itinerary of this. Now, these prophets in the Old Testament, when they had short-term prophecies, meaning they were fulfilled very quickly, that helped them in their ministries in that day. Okay, but when it was a long-term prophecy, I mean, what can they say about it? Well, God's going to do this. Yeah, when? Oh, I don't know. Well, how am I going to tell you're telling the truth or not? Well, you'll figure it out then. If it's a short-term one, like in Jeremiah 28, Jeremiah had a short-term one. He was given a prophecy about the destruction of Judah and some smart aleck false prophets, and that ain't going to happen, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah just said, well, okay, I'm going to prophesy. Within a year, you're going to be dead. Short-termer. He died in 2 months. So that's kind of effective for people that heard the prophecy. Well, if this guy can do this, does he have a Jewish hitman that takes these guys out? In Amos chapter 7, somebody, a false prophet or whatever, smarted off to Amos. And he just said in Amos 7, he said, oh, by the way, your wife's going to be a harlot, your kid's going to die in the city. And that happened shortly thereafter. And that sort of kind of confirmed his prophecies. Jesus told his apostles before his death, he said, this is what's going to happen to me. And in John 13, 19, he said, and I'm going to tell you before it come to pass that when it does come to pass, you might believe. He said that twice, John 14, 29. And so that was a short-term prophecy. And so after they witnessed the crucifixion, and after they witnessed all that stuff, and then saw him resurrected, that sort of does something to somebody. Okay, we believe. Okay, and so those short-term prophecies aided in the short-term situation. But when God's dealing without time, he has some prophecies. And so we go with his track record of the past. And so God is going to tell us what's going to take hereafter. If you would, look in Revelation chapter 4. And so if any of you have ever taken a cruise or like a trip to Israel, Brent and I took a trip to Israel. Before the trip, 10-day trip, they had what we're going to do on each day, 10 days. Okay, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to do this. And it's nice to have those things kind of charted out. And so I want to give you the 12 highlights of the hereafter for the born-again believer. Okay, if a person's not born again, you're going to have a different cruise, have to call a different company, different travel agency. So these are the highlights. I'm just going to hit the highlights because obviously if I hit on each one, it's going to take 12 hours at least. And so Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Okay, now chronologically, you'll see in chapter 2, there are seven churches. You'll see the word churches, churches, churches all through there. And in chapter 4, somebody's gone. And you don't see the word church again. Not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7, not 8, not 9, it's not 19. Okay, you might see it in 22, but that's kind of after this fact. But the church is gone. So something has happened to the church in chapter 4. And so highlight number one of the trip of the hereafter for born-again believer. Beings were not dead yet. I don't think so. Hope not. We're still breathing. Okay, eyes are looking. Yeah, okay. So we still have some future left on this planet. Okay, we still got some future left here. So number one highlight is complete the endurance of this apostasy of this age. We got to finish the job. Okay, complete the endurance of this age, because we're still here. James 1:12 says that blessed is the man who endureth temptation, okay, and when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. So if we complete the endurance, yes, the church is engulfed with apostasy. Yeah, it is. If you want to discover for yourself, just travel around, go church to church, and you'll see it. Watch Christian television. I mean, ha ha ha. All the clowns aren't in the circus. Most of them are on Christian TV. Okay, apostasy has engulfed the church. It's disgusting, it's frustrating, it's tiresome, but most Bible characters did live through apostate times. And that's why God gave them credit, because they stayed faithful during apostate times. Apostasy has engulfed the church just as the Bible predicted. Most preachers don't even know what a Bible looks like, a pure Bible. Most of them don't. They're talked out of it in the schools. They possibly walked in believing the Bible in their hands, the Word of God. 99.9% of them walked out not believing the Bible in their hands was the pure Word of God. That's just the way it is. And that's why I have a bunch of goofiness going on. This is a sign of life. Everything falls apart. America's falling apart. America is on a respirator right now. It's falling apart. I mean, we have a candidate that is on the Democratic side that is an avowed socialist. I mean, who would have ever thought of it? Now, they've been socialists for years, but at least he bears the title. Okay, and so this is a scientific law called entropy. Entropy affects everything that it touches unless God's breath breathes life into it. This building is falling apart. Your car's falling apart. Your body's falling apart. America's falling apart. The church is falling apart. Everything ends in apostasy. That is just life. That's just the way it goes. Language dies. Nations die. People die. Okay, trees die. Grass dies. Everything dies. That's just life. That's just the way it goes. It's life and death. Entropy is a scientific law that disproves evolutionary theory because it's falling apart. That's just the way it is. And so Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Isaiah warned about apostasy. And that verse is the most repeated verse in the New Testament. It is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and Hebrews. Seven times, every age. The Israel's ended in apostasy. Okay, the church is ending in apostasy. Everything dies. Everything falls apart. That's just life, okay? And so our life on earth, as hopefully we endure, okay, this age of apostasy, our life on earth is like a job application for the millennial kingdom. Okay, so this is our interviewing for a job. If we want to get a job with Jesus Christ during the millennium, it's what we're doing right now. Okay, so that's highlight number two, one. Highlight number two is the translation of the born-again believer. I use the word translation because that's the Bible word. The common word is rapture, which is a good word. The rapture, okay, the pre-tribulation rapture is commonly called the rapture because one will be enraptured with an intense sense of pleasure after a quick exodus from this earth. After we're raptured out of here, and we possibly sit down in the heavens, and it dawns on us, I'm out of here. No more pain, no more job, no more mess, no more Obama, no more Bush, no more Clinton, no more, well, I'm going to have in-laws because they're saved. All this stuff. We're going to get fired up. I mean, we are going to get fired up. Okay? The rapture is one of the seven mysteries we are not to ignore. Now, all across this country, the churches are dumping it. Fine with me, I don't care. Okay, and so when the last trump sounds, you say, what's the last trump? Well, all across this world, so far trumpets have been heard. Jan and I heard it in Australia. It's a strange phenomena. You get on YouTube and hear some of them. And when the last one sounds, it's going to be a big one. It's going to sound, and then you're going to hear, come up hither. And out of here, we're gone. Revelation 4 and 5 describes what John saw afterwards. You might see the same things in the order he did. You might see it in a different order. Okay? It's a translation of the born-again believer. Just like Enoch. Now, Enoch got translated hundreds of years before the flood, but he still got translated. He got pulled out of here. He cheated the undertaker. Okay, he got the upper taker. And so, on this itinerary that I'm giving you, I am going to give a side itinerary for the ones who are insistent on skipping the rapture. Okay, there are a lot of Baptists in America that are insistent that they're going to skip the rapture, they're going to go in the tribulation. I said, oh, that's fine, good. I told one of these guys, good luck, have a good time. Okay, and the reason why, here's my suggestions for that individual that wants to skip the rapture, My suggestions are going this way. Number one, continue to overlook many passages about Israel and Daniel's 70th week. Just keep it up. Daniel's 70th week is for Israel and Jerusalem. If you want to pretend you're Israel, fine, I don't care. So continue overlooking those. Continue changing words of the Bible to make it appear what you want it to say. Keep that up. Doing a good job at it, these guys are. Continue to fail to rightly divide the word of truth and think that you're replacement Israel. Keep that up. You have to keep it up. If you want to skip the rapture, you got to keep that up. Because the tribulation time period is a different time period. The tribulation is a continuation of Old Testament doctrine of Daniel's 70 weeks. And the book, the letter to the Hebrews, writes the amendments to the Hebrews of that time period. But some of these people are really insistent on it. And so, that's my advice. If they're going to insist that they're Israel, my suggestion after this is schedule a trip to Amman, Jordan. Fly to Amman, Jordan. Take a trip south into a place called Petra. Secure some property there. There's not a lakefront. There's not a lake. It's just desert. Get some property down there. Secure that. And then become the greatest preparedness nut you've ever seen in your life. I mean, become massive Mormon. Get all this stuff built up, okay, and get all this prepared. This is why I wrote to one guy. He thinks he's going to the tribulation. I said, man, you better get over there and get some land. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, man, don't you know that's where the Jews got to run for safety. And if you're Israel, make sure you get there. I know a guy, he's got a boat. He's going to plan to take Jews back to Israel with his boat. Praise the Lord. I'm happy for him. Okay, and so now add works to your faith because you're going to need to do that if you're going to go into the trib. This is a day of grace. We're saved by grace through faith. In the trib, you got to throw the works in there. Okay, and then don't be surprised if you might disappear after you hear a big noise. You might be surprised. Now, these fellows say, well, what if I'm right? Well, if you're right and I'm wrong, then I'll look you up after the Antichrist shows up and I'll take a trip to Petra, meet you up there. I'll bring my supplies, backpack, everything that I need. I'll figure it out then. Okay, so that's if they're insistent of that. But for the born-again believer, we're out of here. Okay, we're out of here. That's what these guys overlook. They overlook the different doctrines for Israel. The third thing on our itinerary of our thing is the judgment seat of Christ. That's another thing they overlook. The judgment seat of Christ will occur in heaven for born-again believers only. While Israel is being judged down here during the tribulation, the born-again believers are being judged in heaven for our service or lack thereof. Okay, this will take place in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 writes about it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3 writes about it. Okay, this will take place in heaven during the tribulation time period, possibly after we're done with our personal judgment. We'll probably get to watch television and watch, you know, Channel 7 for the Jews, Channel 13 for the devil, flip back and forth, you know. And, of course, you make sure the guy's got the remote control where we can go back and forth, okay, and all that stuff, Channel 6 for United Nations and all that. Okay, now the judgment seat of Christ, this is where rewards are given for service, sanctification, and suffering. If a believer met the qualifications for those three, service, sanctification, or suffering, they will be awarded. Okay, they will be awarded some type of job in the administration of Jesus Christ. During the millennial time, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Well, that's where we get awarded that. We get chosen for that job. If we don't meet the qualifications, that individual will get to watch and enjoy the blessings of the millennium. About like they're watching believers in this age. Where they're just watching, sitting under, you know, blessed assurance as they're watching everything going on. Okay, so that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's the big day for us. Of the born-again believer. After the judgment seat of Christ, after we've gone through that, number four on our itinerary is that we will be perfect like Jesus Christ. Everything you think is right, everything you do is right. This is a great promise, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. That is no questioning, no wondering what I should do, no kicking myself for thinking the wrong things, doing the wrong things, acting the wrong way. No more of that. I mean, perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we come out of that judgment seat of Christ. Man, there ain't nothing better than that. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Now, if you don't think it's vile, just don't take a bath for a week. And you'll discover it. Okay, change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Oh man, that's going to be a great day. And you'll be a saint of God. Just think, this is going to be done without a vote from the Cardinals, the Blue Jays, the Crows, and the other birds at the Vatican. I mean, ain't that a wonderful thing? Everything you do and think will be right, and you'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh man, that's going to be a great day. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's the promise. So that's for the born-again believers only, because that doctrine is specifically for born-again believers at after we come through that and we're perfect like Christ, the next thing in the itinerary is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, I like the Bible. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Supper is the evening meal. Dinner is the noon meal. The Bible is on the agriculture ideas, and so we want to make sure we get that right. Okay, and so the marriage supper of the Lamb, that means food. Okay, so that's very simple, Revelation chapter 19. After that, right after that, we born-again believers will get to observe and participate in the Battle of Armageddon. Okay, we observe it first because Jesus Christ is leading the charge. And then we get to participate. Now, our participation is described in Joel chapter 2, where the born-again believers will be able to walk up the sides of buildings and walk down and walk back down just like Spider-Man and Superman. And if we get shot, you know, a mosquito got me, and just wipe it out. Okay, that's wiping out the Muslims, the 200 million Muslims that show up against Israel and the United Nations peacekeeping troops. Okay, we get to observe and participate in that battle. Obviously, Jesus is going to do the majority of the thing, but we're just kind of mopping it up. Okay, after that, we will observe the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25. The judgments of the nations will be the people that were not in Israel, the people scattered throughout the world, will be brought in front of Jesus Christ, and then depending upon how they treated the Jewish people or the righteous during the tribulation time period, if they tried to help them out, they get to go into the millennium. If they took advantage of them, then they will be pitched into hellfire. But we just observe that. No participation, just observing it. So we're like sitting in a back room of a courtroom watching the court proceedings. Okay, and so that's the next thing on the schedule. Okay, after that, immediately after that, we will observe, or at least the outcome of the Jewish people as a nation getting born again and the earth getting born again. Okay, if you would look in Amos chapter 9. Okay, the earth gets born again because the earth is dying. And so we have to have an eternal God breathe life into the earth for the new birth, just like He breathed life into the child, you know, into the sinner to become saved. Okay, and so Amos chapter 9 shows what the earth is going to be like. 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. Jesus Christ is a king on earth in Jerusalem. The earth gets born again. Okay, so this is called a regeneration. It's only found 2 times in the Bible. One is for the soul, one is for the earth. Amos chapter 9, Amos was a gatherer of sycamore fruit and a herdman, so he was a farmer or a rancher or orchard keeper. Amos 9:13 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." This is not a lazy farmer that didn't, you know, harvest his crops until March or April. This is growing a crop every 3 months, every season, every spring, every summer, every fall, every winter. You say it can't be done. When the sun increases its light, it can be done. And if you doubt that, just try Alaska and see how much sun they get in the summertime and how quick their crops grow. That's just a small sample of it. It goes back to a greenhouse effect, back to the days of the Garden of Eden, where they'll grow 4 times a year and the crops will be phenomenal. It'll be phenomenal. And so we observe the new birth of Israel, where they will be restored. They will be the leaders of the Gentile nations, and the earth itself will get born again. Garden of Eden days. Next thing on the itinerary, the greatest thing of all, worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1,000-year reign. Now, it's funny how some people are so confused about 1,000-year reign. You have post-millennial, amillennial, pre-millennial. And God put it in English 6 times in Revelation chapter 20. 1,000 years. And I just believe that. How these people overlooked that, I don't know. It says it 6 times. 1,000 years. What does that mean? 1,000 years. One more than 999. Okay, and that's when that is going to be the greatest show on earth. That's when Jesus Christ is the king in Jerusalem. No faith will be required of anybody because they can just go to Jerusalem and see him. It's all by sight. Okay, and it's going to be 1,000 years of peace and prosperity without the devil and without the influence of his spirits. And the world will not be able to influence. People cannot say the devil made me do it, and they cannot say it's the environment that caused me to do it. Because the believers that are chosen for the job application will be running the environment as far as the peer pressure of society. So we'll get to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the number one doctrine of the Bible. It's the big day in God's calendar. It's what all the prophets write about more than anything. Okay, so that's that. After 1,000 years, we will observe the firing of Satan. He gets fired. He gets fired literally from his job of accusing and deceiving, accusing the brethren and deceiving the world. So he gets fired. We will see him get thrown into the lake of fire. At the same time, there's going to be a scientific event called Maximus Bangus. Okay, they call it Big Bang. It's not at the beginning, it's at the end. Revelation chapter 20, where the earth, boom, is exploded. You see, politicians try to scare you and I, saying that man can blow up the world. We don't have the capability. If you go to Nagasaki and Hiroshima today, you wouldn't even know anything happened. If you go to Detroit, Michigan, you would think that a bomb was dropped there. But that was just human laziness. Okay, but I mean, remember years ago they had the oil spill up there along the coast of Canada and Alaska? Oh, this is not going to... It recovered in less than 3 years. God has it built in the earth, just like he has built in our body, where our body heals itself. And he's a built in the earth. Okay, and so, but God has the capability of blowing up this world. And when God says boom, it's gone. And everybody that's in another world will be floating in the air, and they'll hit the great white throne judgment. So we will observe the Satan being thrown in hellfire. We will observe the earth and your heaven being exploded. And then we will observe and participate in the great white throne judgment. You say participate? Yes. 1 Corinthians 6 says we will judge angels. And any lost person that continue to harangue you, harass you, that you witnessed to, you will be called up to testify. And that's going to be an awful time. You'll be called up to testify. All the beefs that we have with other believers will be taken care of at the judgment seat of Christ. But we will be called up as witnesses. Okay, we will be called up as witnesses of people that abuse you, steal from you, and things like that. Okay, and we'll just, I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to take a while, but that's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And then the last, final thing is we'll enjoy eternity with God Almighty. That's the chronology. Boom, 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 right through there. If you run through Revelation, if you believe every word of this book, and run it rightly divided, that's the chronology born-again believers will face, will see chronologically. For the believer, this earth is all the hell you're going to ever see. For the unbeliever, this earth is all the heaven you're going to see. And that's a very sad thought to think about it. And it all hinges, you know, what's trip in the hereafter that you're going to get on hinges upon faith in Jesus Christ. That's the cruise that you're going to take. It's either the one of this happy ending or this one of a very sad ending. It all hinges upon a man or a woman's child choice of what they do with Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ, Jesus said. What think ye of Christ? And that's the bottom line. In this age, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the unbeliever, and I've heard this many times from unsaved people, you know, I've brought up eternity, heaven, hell, I've heard this many times. I've said, well, this is hell on earth. And I just look at it and say, well, do you enjoy it? Well, of course not. I said, then why would you want to go to hell any hereafter? If you don't like the hell on earth, I got something better for you through Jesus Christ. You see, but hell on earth, this is not even a fraction of what it's going to be like in eternity. And so the thing is believe in Jesus Christ. So that's the itinerary for the born-again believer. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be excited about this great future events that you have planned for your children. And Lord, we are exhorted to be faithful now and to please you now. And Lord, we got all these temptations and all this pressure and all this apostasy, and we get discouraged by that, but Lord, help us to be faithful to the task, because in Romans it says that the suffering that we're facing is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that you have planned. And help us, Lord, to see the great program that you have, the future, the wonderful future you have set up for the believers in Jesus Christ. Help us to love you for that, honor you for that, appreciate you for that, and worship you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.